This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 205 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how are we?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm good. It's been hot here, but we're going to get through this. I'm looking forward to a good show. You want to hear what the topics are?
Let's hear them.
We have DJI partnering with 3DR. Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? We are farmers, bump, 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 bump. A Kentucky drone privacy issue, a fishy video of the week. And I want to also introduce a guest to us tonight. This person spoke at the Summer Science and Engineering Program, the SSEP. Let me introduce you, Professor Max Flight. So, Max, you got to do some lecturing and teaching this week?
Well, I was invited to Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, by John Karas. Now, as you mentioned, David, they have this Summer Science and Engineering program. It's a four-week residential program, and this is for high school-age young women, those that have a strong interest in science and engineering, medicine, things like that. They run this each July. This is for select students from across the country, and in fact, they have a few international students as well. They go to Smith College. They do some hands-on research with the faculty there. One of the courses they have is this drone class, and John Karas, as I mentioned, invited myself as well as Drone Mama to come up and talk to the students just for an hour about unmanned aircraft and drones and what have you and I seen change in this space over the past few years? What do we think things are going to look like in the future? And it was a great time. This program is pretty amazing, David. The students look at things like relevant laws and regulations. They talk about current applications of this technology. Also, flight mechanics. They actually build and fly quadcopters themselves. They have some models or different capabilities spread across the drones that they're building. They're DJI flame wheel based drones, but they actually learn how to assemble them, fly them. They learn piloting skills. They learn mission planning. They also take a look at photogrammetry, image processing, and of course, a lot of focus on safety. So it's a really, really comprehensive program. So I had the opportunity to speak to these young women, really, really a bright group of folks. And as I mentioned, international too. They had representation from China, from Spain, and of course, across many cities in the U.S. And get this, David, one of the students was from Silicon Valley. One was from Philadelphia. One was from Chicago. It's like from every city where we have an Airplane Geeks podcast host, they had some high school students from there. So that was kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. And they liked Professor Flight. And of course, they loved Drone Mama. But this is a really cool experience. Yes. And you get to talk about stuff that we talk about, but it's different when you're talking to students or you're talking to people beyond the show, where it's kind of fun. And I'm glad you got the experience. And they got good taste hiring you for a lecture series.
Well, I hope they enjoyed it. You know, there was some of the conversation was kind of interesting, David. We were talking about Amazon and package delivery and all of that. And John raised a question. He said, what if Amazon, as it's flying around delivering packages to you, actually observed your situation, your property, maybe collected some data that it could observe through the drone, and then used that data to suggest products or services that you might be interested in?
Oh, that's just creepy, but...
That's what I was going to ask. So what is your reaction to that notion?
Well, yeah, I think we're all sort of getting accustomed to that when we go out and do a Google search or somebody does a Google search on your computer, suddenly in Facebook you get advertisements for all of the things like, or if you... I don't know. It sounds creepy, but it sounds very practical. But that's a good question. Maybe our listeners will chime in and send us an email at feedback@theuavdigest.com. So what do you think?
Well, here's what the students thought. Those that were vocal about it, anyway, had pretty much the same reaction that you did. Creepy, invasion of privacy. There really wasn't a lot of feedback on that question from the students that supported a company like Amazon doing something like that. In the end, I think there was kind of a suggestion that, well, what if it was an opt-in kind of a situation so that the default would be, you know, Amazon is not going to look at you with their drones and make product suggestions. But if you check the box somewhere, for example, saying that you would allow that, then that they could. There was a little bit of comfort with that one.
I got to say, though, I mean, are they going to give me an alternate selection of garden gnomes? Really, if they're delivering to the outside of my house, what are they going to observe that I need? A new pink flamingo or a pinker flamingo or a garden gnome or maybe a lawnmower because I haven't mowed my lawn in a week or so. I mean, yes,
Well, there's one good one. Yes. So somebody came up with the idea of, you know, your gutters look like they're in disrepair. You know, might we suggest this gutter repair service or something like that. But so it's an interesting topic. I think that these students are really an amazing bunch, very intelligent. They are thinking about things like this, but they're also applying their interests in, you know, science and engineering to this area. So it'll be interesting to see perhaps, you know, where these women go in life. Some of them, I think, are interested in careers that might involve unmanned flight. Others are, you know, just fascinated with the technology and they have a lot of time ahead of them to make decisions like that. But excellent, excellent program. They run this every year. This was actually the first year Smith College, I'm pretty sure, ran the drone class or included that in this program. And sort of based on the reaction, I think this is something they'll probably continue to do in the future. Very good.
Max has got a summer job now from now on.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to the ladies.
So, okay, I guess we should get around to some news and stop patting you on the back.
Okay,
That's always a good thing, though, when we can pat each other on the back and we get to do wonderful things like that. So, all right, cue the Jaws music. DJI, 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 DJ. That's all I heard. I kept hearing it when I read this article to begin with. We've talked about 3D robotics in the past, or 3DR, and we have a case of if you can't beat them, join them. On August 1st, we're recording this on the 3rd, DJI is entering a partnership with 3D robotics.
Yeah, this is interesting. 3D robotics, of course, has struggled. This was co-founded by Chris Anderson, who we talked to once or twice, maybe once on Airplane Geeks, but the 3DR sales were never really up to the the levels that they were hoping. They did have $100 million in venture capital that they kind of burned through, consumed, let's say. Recently, they laid off 150 people. And what they decided to do is concentrate on software instead of hardware. So this is where this link up with DJI comes in. DJI providing hardware in 3D robotics, integrating its software, its sight scan software, with DJI drones. Now, this is not a consumer type of capability. This is an enterprise solution. Industries like construction, insurance, surveying and mapping, utilities, telecom, things like that would be interested in this. But this sight scan data capture technology is something that 3DR thinks that they've got a winner here.
Sight scan data capture has got some really neat modes. And hopefully we'll be able to put this graphic in the show notes. But they have various surveying modes that can change the pattern. They have a crosshatch survey, a perimeter scan. It's got a refly or a redo function. And it helps you plan quickly what you want to survey. And of course, this is, I have to say, geared towards precision agriculture because you want to be able to survey the area quickly. And if you can repeat that survey consistently, you'll get better data results. And the other one would be an inspect mode, which you can fly manually and use the 3D zoom with the software to take detailed photographs. And this, of course, would be tower inspections. You know, what we keep talking about, tower inspections and bridge inspections. So all of this stuff you get, and it can be uploaded to a cloud. Data can be processed, and you can fill out and overlay into a PDF and CAD files to compare as built. So you can take your data, overlay it over to your bridge to source the see where the cracks are or any other inspection issues. Pretty neat stuff. Unfortunately, it's going to our main source of competition for U.S. drone manufacturers, but nevertheless, we wish Chris and the gang over at 3DR best of luck.
Yeah, and we should mention that while this software, this sight scan data capture software, can be used with the DJI Phantom 4 Pro, it'll actually also work with 3DR drones, so you're not left out completely. But an interesting aspect of this, I think, is that this service includes a complimentary drone replacement if yours malfunctions or you crash it, have an accident, something like that. So the whole concept seems really centered around, again, an enterprise level, professional level missions, but with that kind of a service capability and ease of use that really offers kind of a complete package. If you've got towers to inspect or fields to inspect or something like that, you're going to want to have a system that you can rely on. And if it goes down, you don't want to lose the capability. So sounds very interesting. I also think this is kind of something that we may see more and more of. We've kind of touched on the idea of industry consolidation coming. And this is an example of different companies kind of focusing on their core competency and offering that instead of trying to offer broad service, cover everything, hardware, software, to soup to nuts. That's kind of a lot for one company to do well. So here's an example of companies saying, all right, here's what we do best at. Let's focus on that, build a business model around that. And I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that in this industry.
And it also dovetails about, I believe back in January, we talked about what we thought we might see in 2017. And one of them was consolidation. The other was less focus on hardware and more focus on software and applications and what you're going to fly on the hardware, the sensors.
Sensors. Speaking of sensors.
Well, let's talk about sensors and snakes.
And snakes.
This is from PRNewswire.com. Valero drone starts Python tracking project in Everglades using thermal technology. Yeah, could you have made that any harder for me to say? We've talked about monitoring species, and believe it or not, the Everglades is filled with evasive or species or the ones that don't belong there but have got ended up there. And one of those species is there's 100,000 Burmese pythons living in the Florida Everglades.
Amazing, amazing. The article also points out that this population of snakes is exploding. It's increasing exponentially, and it's a big problem. Not just because people are afraid of snakes or something like that, but snakes have to eat, and 100,000 snakes eat a lot of small mammals, and that population is in trouble.
And what happens is in something like this, there's no predator to take out the pythons.
Right.
So the pythons are growing exponentially and taking out everything else. And basically then that causes the whole ecosystem to collapse. So the Florida Fish and Wildlife and the South Florida Water Management District are desperate for an effective solution. So Volero Drones, and that's volerodrones.com, is working with Bill Booth Outdoors and Bruni Infrared using drone imagery to track these 100,000 pythons. And I guess they're going to try to eradicate some of them, to be politically correct.
Or possibly significantly reduce the population. There's probably some level that the environment, the ecosystem could sustain, I guess. But this is clearly out of my area of expertise. But I think what they do now is they have people that are good at hunting, tracking, catching these pythons. And, of course, that's a pretty inefficient way to manage the population and address the problem. So with the right kinds of sensors flying drones overhead, I think would help a great deal in terms of locating, identifying these pythons, assessing the situation. That number of snakes, 100,000, is kind of an estimate, I think. And who knows? Maybe there are a lot more. Maybe the problem is even greater than they know. But this is a great application, great sensor application, I think. So I think this will be something that it'd be really beneficial down there in the Florida Everglades. Now I'm doing it. Beneficial down there in the Florida Everglades.
Well, let's talk about overflights and surveying some more. Farmers Insurance launches drone program with Kespri. This is actually was a press release from Kespri. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host because we're talking about insurance and I have to bow out.
Conflict of interest. So Farmers Insurance has actually been using UAS to a certain extent for assessing residential property damage. They've decided that this is working so well that they're going to expand their use. The benefits, and I think we've talked about these, faster inspection times if you can do inspections via drones. Also, another big, big item is it's much less of a safety risk for the field adjusters. So they're going to use these drones provided by Kespri, and in the press release they say to, quote, gather rooftop imagery and data, generate analytic reports, supplement ladder assist capabilities, and resolve more claims with greater efficiency and accuracy.
And I'll dive in there. For those people who don't understand about safety risks for field adjusters, if you have a problem with a roof and you're filing a roof claim, for all intents and purposes, the best way to analyze the status of the roof is to climb a ladder and climb up the roof, which is a really risky for a claims adjuster. You're climbing up a ladder. You're climbing up onto an unsafe roof to inspect You know, the roof might give way more with you up there. So ladder inspections are never, claims adjusters will do everything in their power to avoid a ladder inspection.
I can see that.
So, because they just don't want to take the risk. But yeah. So this is David not talking about insurance, but talking about claims adjusting. And it's a really good way. And besides that, a complex roof is much easier to survey with a drone than, say, someone who's got to climb a ladder. So I know, Max, you're in a old house. Your roof, you have more than one roof, right? You're
yes.
not one flat. You have multiple levels and multiple steeples. And so sometimes you need to climb a ladder to put up on the roof to climb with another ladder to inspect the roof.
Yeah, I don't like going up on that roof or any part of it. I don't like doing that.
So it's, you know, anyone who's ever cleaned gutters knows what it's like. So this is a really good, it's a really safe way and quick way to survey the damage and get a realistic way to estimate it. And more importantly, the faster you estimate it, the faster you can cut a check, the faster the person's house gets repaired and they can go on living their lives, which is why we sell insurance in the first place.
The press release does answer a question I had, David, which was, who's going to fly all these drones? And according to Kespery, that the drone operators will be FAA licensed, but they will be farmers' own claims professionals. So I thought that was very, very interesting that they're not outsourcing the actual piloting of these inspection drones to some other organization or division of the company, that they're going to train and license the farmers' claims professionals to also fly the drones. I thought that was very interesting. I think that may be a different approach than others are taking.
Well, I think now this is going to sound a bit obnoxious, but it might be easier to train someone to fly a drone than it is to give them the years of claims inspection knowledge that someone would get.
Yes.
All right, so I really do think that that's the order that you want it. Being able to fly the drone and get the pictures is one thing, but you need to be able to analyze the pictures. And, you know, and so I think it would be, I think it will be easier to have a claims adjuster become a drone pilot than a drone pilot becoming a claims adjuster.
Yeah. You know, I like this next item, David, because, well, we've seen elected officials take to Twitter to make various points. And this is another one from Kentucky.
This sounded kind of fried chicken-y to me, but this was from CNET.com. Kentucky governor says news station drone invaded privacy. And this started because Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky sent out 140 characters. The drone that was just flying over my home and filming my children was personally flown by a @WDRBN news director. Okay, that's interesting, which was prompted by a response from WRDB news director Barry Fulmer, who tweeted,
"Governor Matt Bevin, WDRB, was flying a drone in accordance to the FAA rules to cover news happening at your home. There was no, nose in caps, video of children." So we have this little bit of a spat back and forth. Of course, there's a lot of news gathering and privacy issues here. People are trying to speculate as to
why they were flying a drone over the governor's house.
In CNET, it says that there is a possibility because there's a story that was aired on WDRB that involved some kind of a controversy, apparently, surrounding the true value of the governor's residence, which was purchased through a limited liability company. The local Courier Journal referred to it as a possible sweetheart deal. But I guess that's speculation. But here's the clash, news gathering and privacy. And we have a drone, I guess, in the middle of that controversy.
Interesting, though, that Barry Fulmer in his tweet purposely mentioned FAA rules now. Now, if he was a proper tweeter, he would have put at FAA news because, you know, so, but interesting that it was following FAA rules and definitely no video of the children, which is really good. But of course, it being on Twitter makes it just even more 21st century-ish social media type. So I don't know.
It's out of control.
It is. So let's talk about our video of the week. You can watch hundreds of things like people on Twitter swimming upstream against the flow of the river. And this is drone captures mesmerized footage of hundreds of fish on Pink Salmon Run. Danny Sanford shot the footage on 22nd of July in Harteny Bay, Cordova, Alaska. And it's salmon swimming upstream to their spawning grounds. And if you've never seen it in person, you need to go to Alaska and see the salmon swimming upstream and see salmon. Besides, it's really good. It's really delicious up there. The salmon.
Oh, it is. Yes.
It is just amazing in Alaska. And they do amazing things with it. I was dumbfounded that, you know, the smoked salmon they eat on crackers like you'd eat tuna fish. But pretty cool video of swimming upstream.
It is a lot of salmon. This is not just, you know, a few dozen salmon swimming by in the stream. This is a huge
group. This is a salmon run.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen salmon runs in Alaska, and I've tasted some of that, you know, great fresh Alaskan salmon, like you say, David. But boy, I never saw this number of fish swimming together. It's kind of a very interesting video. So good pick.
So let's move on to some feedback. And I want to say that this is feedback that I mention every week. And I want to say this feedback came from David Stack on July 17th. And where did he leave this feedback? He left it on iTunes, where we actually have a 5-star rating, which is very, very good. But his comment was, "The UAV Digest is my go-to source for drone news. I follow various email lists as well. But the Digest is all that's needed if you want to go for one source of drone news."
Wow.
Thanks, David, for adding that. So this is my thing is we definitely want other people to find us. And the best way to do that is you should leave us some feedback on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play. That way it helps other people find us. And we really appreciate it. And it keeps our numbers up, and so that we are the number one podcast for drones on iTunes.
Now, you know, when you look in the iTunes directory, and this is something that not everybody realizes, that when you see reviews like this, that's only the reviews for your country's iTunes. So here in the U.S., we would just see feedback from U.S. listeners if those of you in another country, when you look in there, you'll just see the reviews from your country. So we do have a very large international audience, and you know, we'd encourage all of you as well across the world to give us a rating, add some comments, and add that to your local iTunes. So we'd really appreciate it.
Wow, I learn something new every week. Didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why when you look in there, you only see the U.S. reviews. There are ways you can, you know, but you have to log it. You either have to use some software that specifically goes to each of the iTunes stores around the world, and there are lots of them, you know, or you just got to manually go into each one, but that's a difficult process. So
that's why he's the podcasting god. Professor well, Professor Flight, podcasting god.
Oh, I'm getting too much... All right.
So I guess after now that I've heaped into all that praise on you, it's time for us to leave.
It is. We want to thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. This was number 205. Find us at theuavdigest.com. If you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, we will have links to the videos, to the articles we talk about, to the things that Smith College are doing, just visit theuavdigest.com/205.
And of course, you can find me at the Big Drone Show in Toronto on September 27th and 28th. So if you're going to be in Toronto those days, let me know. I'd love to meet anybody there. And let's talk some shop. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at UAV Digest, on Facebook at facebook.com/theUAVDigest. You can leave us some reviews, like I've said, on Stitcher, Google Play, or iTunes. Become a fan of show or at patreon.com, or buy some swag at our cafe press store. So I guess with that, I'm going to say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.